This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musician Spotlight. Our guest today is Cyril Neville.
In this world, you need money. Take money to survive. You ain't got no money. You can run, but you can't hide. You can run, but you can't hide. In this world, you need loving. You need love to survive. You ain't got no love. You can run, but you can't hide. You can run, but you can't hide. In this world, you need courage. You need courage to survive. You ain't got no courage. My girl, lay down and die. Lay down and die.
This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musician Spotlight. I'm very pleased to welcome by phone today, Cyril Neville. How are you doing, Cyril?
Hey, pretty good, man. How are you doing? Thanks for inviting me.
It's a pleasure to have you on the program and a real honor to include you in our list of guests who have been on the program. Cyril is calling us today from Washington, D.C., and on the road doing some touring as we are recording this particular interview in mid-March. Certainly, Cyril's work will be familiar to listeners through the music of two iconic groups, the Meters and the Neville Brothers, as well as his performances with Galactic, the Uptown All-Star Band, among others, and recording work with folks like Bob Dylan, Willie Nelson, Dr. John, Jimmy Buffett, Edie Brickell, Daniel Lanois. Also has his own recording company, Endangered Species, and is a Grammy winner. His most recent recording is Magic Honey, just released last year in 2013. We'll be talking a little bit about that as well. Just off the top, the website where you can find out more information about Cyril is cyrilneville.net, and you can also find him on Facebook. And as I was teasing him before we started the interview, you can read about Cyril's visit to Dunkin' Donuts and some other stops along the way, and just kind of find out a little bit about life on the road. Cyril, certainly there are famous musical families and certainly some famous New Orleans musical families, but you'd be hard-pressed to top the Neville family and the Neville brothers. And I'm sure you get asked this a lot, but if you could just take us back a little bit and tell us about what it was like growing up in this amazing family and the musical legacy that that was there and continues.
Well, as you said, the Noble family isn't the only musical family. There is a lot of other musical families there as well. I feel blessed and lucky to have grown up during the time that I grew up in the family that I grew up in the city that I grew up in. You know, my brother Art had a band called the Hawkettes. Some of the cream of the crop of New Orleans musicians was in that band, and it just so happened they rehearsed at our house. So I got a chance to really, you know, sit there and interact with those older musicians and watch them play. You know, basically, like I said, I just feel real blessed to have been exposed to what I was going to be doing the rest of my life at a very early age. So there never was no question as to what I wanted to do or what I should be doing or whatever. You know, my other older brothers from other mothers were Dr. John and Alan Toussaint, Smokey Johnson, James Black, and Earl King. So I was a very lucky kid.
I assume there was a lot of singing going on in that household.
Yeah, and, you know, drums was the first thing that really attracted me for various reasons. I started off playing trap drum, mm-hmm. and then I migrated into the percussion thing, too. But the drums always was my first love.
At what point did you really realize that you had a musical voice of your own?
Well, I mean, I recognized it early on, but others did. You know, and then it was like, you know, I've concentrated a little bit more on the drums and learning other styles. But the whole while I was doing that, I still was practicing singing. I just wasn't doing it in public.
Okay.
But, you know, I was always singing. That was another thing that, you know, basically was something that I tried early on, which was play drums and singing at the same time. You know, so singing has always been, you know, like, just as important to me as drums, really.
That's not as easy as a lot of people think, being able to do those two things at the same time.
No, it's not. You know, and I found out the hard way.
Baby, tell me what's on your mind. Cause you've been neglecting me, baby, for a long, long time. The time has come to tell me what's troubling you. Just see.
Cyril, I know that you were in a number of projects before The Meters, but I wanted to make sure that we spent some time talking about that because obviously this is one of the most influential bands you're going to find, particularly to musicians and I think particularly to, well, anybody who appreciates, you know, fantastic grooves and rhythm is going to be drawn to The Meters and certainly is familiar with that group. Can you just talk a little bit about how that came about, your involvement with the group, and just talk about how you joined that group and how that kind of progressed?
Well, actually, that group started off as Art Neville and the Neville Songs, which was the first band that I was ever in. Mm-hmm. So the guys who became the Meters were part of Art Neville and Neville Songs. And they were playing in the French Quarter at a place called the Ivanhoe under that name. And at the same time, they were working in the studio with Alan Toussaint. It became the studio band. In between their actual jobs, they would come up with these riffs. They take them. Somebody took one of those riffs, Sister Strut, and they put it out. As they say, the rest is history.
Yeah.
You know, but that group that's called the Meters came out of Art Neville and the Neville Sounds. Just so happens at the time that Sister Strut came out, there was a dance called the Sister Strut. And that music fit, whatever that dance was, perfect. That music caught on with that dance and just took it to the top.
Cyril, what was the first tune with that group that you were featured on as the lead singer? Because I came across a tune called Gossip, and
yeah.
It was not one that I don't think I'd heard that one before. It's a great tune. So it made me wonder if this was one of the first tunes that you recorded as the lead singer or...
Well, yeah, that was the first time I went to the studio with them recording a record of my own. And you put Gossip and Tell Me What's On Your Mind out. That's about it. But it's resurfaced, and, you know, I performed it with Galactic when I was out there with them. And so, you know, it's now become something that I can reach back and get and really, you know, turn people on to again.
This is John Floridus. You're listening to Musician Spotlight, and today we are speaking by phone with Cyril Neville. Cyril, let's talk about the Neville Brothers, and I think, you know, a lot of folks think maybe that was the first group that you guys had together, but obviously that was something that came along a little bit later, and what an incredible journey that you guys have had ever since.
Actually, I always tell people the first Neville Brothers record was the Wild Chappatootas record with our uncle, George Landry. And that was the first time that we, the four brothers, were all in the studio at the same time with the intent of making a record together. And what makes it a classic is the fact that it was the Meters, the Neville Brothers, and my uncle, the Wild Chappatootas, in the studio recording that record.
And so from that, maybe just take us a little bit on an abridged version, because obviously it's a story ongoing. But
right, I think the first real significant record that the Neville Brothers made was called it Fly on the Bio. And they had a lot of guests on the record, but one in particular stands out for me was then 15-year-old Whitney Houston.
Oh, my goodness.
Who sang background on that record with us. The next following record we did was with Daniel Lanois.
Yeah, that's of course one that won the Grammy Award and probably...
Yes, Yellow Moon.
Yeah, one that I think a lot of folks are very familiar with, and it was a great combination in terms of pairing Daniel's work as a producer with your guys' sound, I think.
Yes, it was really quite an experience working with Daniel, and we subsequently did a second album, but not exactly with Daniel. He didn't officiate. We did it at his studio, but he didn't do the producing. I think that our career would have had an altogether different run if that second record had been produced by Daniel rather than by one of his assistants. Because in my estimation, it just didn't represent who we were at the time very well, in my estimation. Hmm. But out of it, I did get the chance to write two songs with Bonneville. So... It's all good.
I was going to say, I was trying to remember which album it was that you collaborated with Bono. And that was
so
the one.
It was on Brother's Keeper.
Y'all love old folks dying in the heat. Y'all love young men dying in the street. Cities of concrete and glass all were turned to sand.
Well, speaking of brothers, I mean, just talk a little bit about what it is like, even beyond the musical part of it, to be able to work with your brothers all these years and to be able to, be in their company just as brothers beyond them being, superior musicians, too.
Well, I'm sure anybody with brothers, anybody with family will know that working with family, at times it can be the best of times, and at times it can be the worst of times. So, you know, but if you're lucky and blessed, you meet somewhere in the middle, and you and the audiences wind up very happy.
Cyril, I wanted to ask you about your most recent recording, Magic Honey. Let's talk a little bit about this project and how it came together. And there's one tune in particular that I need to ask you about. But just in general, talk about some of the things that influenced the recording, and maybe not just musically, but just maybe kind of where you were at in your life just as a man.
I was able to get the musicians I wanted, the studio I wanted, the producer I wanted, and the extra added attractions that I wanted. I was able to get my friend Alan Toussaint and my friend Dr. John to come in and play on the record. And we did it at Studio in the Country here in Louisiana. And David Z produced it. I did at least two songs with my friend Mike Zito, who I'm in this band, Royal Southern Brotherhood, who in about 10 minutes, I think, we're going to be called up on stage. So anyway, that is who I'm out traveling with right now, Royal Southern Brotherhood. And me and Mike wrote a couple of songs. I wrote a song with Walter Trout on there. And one of the songs is Dr. John wrote it. And I covered the song Working Man by Rush.
Yeah, that's the one I was going to get to, because that one would not have been on the radar for me to think that you might take a crack at, but it came out great.
Well, the arrangement and everything is thanks to my son, Omari Neville. And he and his band, Rejected Youth Nation, were actually rehearsing that song. And he took it, he brought it to me. He said, "Man, wait a minute. I can't sing this. This is you." And he showed me the lyrics. He said, "Man, this song describes you, Pops. You know, you need to do this." And when I heard Geddy Lee's voice, I said, "Man, there's no way I could." You know, he said, "Well, no, yeah, you don't have to do it." And he showed me the arrangement that he had. He helped me find the right key for me to sing it in. And I thankfully nailed it to the wall. And thanks to him, it opened up a new world. He and I were working in the studio together, just working on different genres. And he, the one, was telling me, "Dad, try some rock, man. You know, you done conquered the blues and reggae and all of this. Do some rock." Thanks to my son, Omari, I was made aware of Rush, and now I own almost every record they ever recorded. I just was in the Guitar Center the other day, and I found this big history of Rush, this big book, and I snatched that up. So, thanks to my son Omari, that song Rush is on that record. It's his arrangement, and as they say, the rest is history.
Working all the time. It seems to me I can live a lot.
And your relationship with your hometown these days, how are you feeling about New Orleans, and how much time do you get to be down there?
Well, I've been living back in Louisiana since 2010. And to give you an idea of how I feel about New Orleans, I just finished writing a song with my Raw Southern Brotherhood brothers called "I'm in Love with My Nola," meaning New Orleans, Louisiana. So, I mean, that's a love affair that'll never end. That's home.
CyrilNeville.net is the name of the website where you can find out more about Cyril's work with all of these groups that we've talked about, the Iconic Meters and the Neville Brothers, as well as his multiple projects, including his solo recordings. Cyril, thank you so much for making time to be a guest here with us on Musician Spotlight. And I'm hoping that the next time we get a chance to chat, we will be able to do so face-to-face.
I hope so too, my friend. And thank you for inviting me to the show.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musician Spotlight. Our guest today has been Cyril Neville. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org. You can also contact us through our own website, musicianspotlight.org, as well as through Facebook. Our program is now available as a podcast from those websites as well as from iTunes. Musician Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.